Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. This is our critique to Professor John Esposito's lecture, which he named also The Future of Islam. This was his speech at the University of Kentucky, which he performed in September 10, 2014. By the way, we are getting closer to the end of his speech. Then after that, Lord is willing, we will be covering also the propaganda questions and the answers of Professor John Esposito. So without further ado, here he is, Professor Esposito.
If we talk about the future of Islam, though, the future of Islam is also involved with the politics of the Muslim world. And here it gets very tricky. You know, remember after 9/11, people said, why do they hate us? Now, there's no problem with that question if you mean, why do the terrorists hate us? But for a lot of Americans, why do they hate us meant they, the Muslims. And often, there was no distinction between being anti-American foreign policy or anti-British foreign policy, for example, as in the invasion of Iraq, and being anti-America. And so some people would say, well, why do they still keep coming here? Why do they live here? Well, because they don't hate us, they don't like our foreign policy.
In our last program, we talked about the first half of this segment, and we assured you, our dear listeners, that Islam is a cult of hate. Allah taught the Muslims to hate the infidels, and so does Muhammad. Muhammad showed the Muslims in his way of life, which we call Muhammad's Sunnah, how he hated the Jews and Christians and idol worshippers and anyone and everyone who would not submit Islam. Muhammad engaged in war with them and he annihilated them from off the face of the Saudi Arabia Peninsula. Not only this can be found in his words and his action, but this is his wishes, not just Saudi Arabia, but for the rest of the earth. That is when Muhammad assured the Muslim believers that the Day of Judgment will not come until the Muslims kill the last Jew who will be walking on the face of the earth. Muhammad's wishes, which filled with hate towards the Jews and the Christians of Saudi Arabia, was fulfilled in his lifetime. That is, in the last 2 years, as Muslims invaded every place they can reach out within the Saudi Arabia Peninsula borders. But then Muhammad sent his 12 armies to invade the rest of the known world. And he assured the Muslim believers, this is the final word of Allah, which sadly our professor, John Esposito, is not familiar with or is ignoring, which means he may have known about these teachings throughout the final word of Allah in the Quran, but he is putting it aside. But then Professor Esposito moved to another important fact when he stated that we have to separate between Muslims' hatred towards us and Muslims' hatred towards our foreign policy. And if you just listen to Professor Esposito, you think that we're doing something wrong overseas. And that's exactly what we'll be talking about in our broadcast for today. What is our foreign policy? A good example of that is our invasion of Iraq. As if America's goal is to invade the Muslim world and take over the riches, or what we call the spoil of war, as Muhammad did 1400 years ago, and as his followers continue to do after the death of Muhammad. My friends, we did not invade Iraq to get the spoil of war, to get their oil, or to get their women and their children. We did not do that. The reason Mr. George W. Bush invaded Iraq, first, because of September 11, as he thought that if he will invade that country and retaliate for the death of the 3,000 Americans, This will show the Muslim world that we're strong and we're going to defend ourselves. Not only we invaded Iraq, but we also invaded Afghanistan. Let me remind you, as I said before, I spoke against these wars. And I said these wars will bring nothing but the shedding of blood and the waste of trillions of dollars. And the sad thing, after all that, we did not bring democracy to Iraq or to Afghanistan. Simply because democracy and Islam do not mix together. Something Professor Esposito does not understand. But for now, we have to understand that this is a good excuse given by the liberals to be taken by the Muslims of the Muslim world to say, here it is, your foreign policy stinks. But my friends, if it was not for September 11, we would not have been in war in Iraq. If it was not for the terrorist activities, which is now all over the Muslim world, we would never have an army to go and invade any of these countries. And once again, we did not invade as Muslims do for the hope to take over a country and to take over the spoils. But we went to war as retaliation, which is reaction for the Muslim actions, and to show the Muslim world that we are here strong to defend ourselves. One thing Professor John Esposito did not mention when he talked about foreign policy, which you actually will see that is the difference between us and some other European countries or Canada, which is our support for the state of Israel. And that is, we stand up with our ally Israel against the Muslim Palestinians. And because Professor Esposito did not get into this very important fact, I will give it to you in short words. Muslims all over the world hate Israel. And because we are allied to Israel, they hate us. They look at Israel as a small devil and America as the great Satan. And in reality, if Muslims who live with us here in America do not like Israel, then you have to know for sure the conclusion that the same Muslims who hate Israel, they hate us even tenfold, because we are, once again, the great Satan. Why do Muslims love liberals in America? Because most liberals in America, like Biden and Obama and Clinton before them, do not care about Israel. They actually throw Israel under the bus to please the Muslim world, especially those who are allied with the Muslim Palestinians. But don't forget, when we stand up with Israel, we receive the blessing of God, who made the promise to Abraham a good 3,800 years ago. That is when God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So if you have logic, if you have common sense, watch what is coming to America. As we continue to have liberals in the White House, for sure, we, the Americans, will turn our back against Israel, and God Almighty will turn his back also against us, and there will not be a blessing coming to us from above. As for the question which Professor Esposito cited here, and so some people say, why do they keep coming here, talking about the Muslims coming to America, or why do they live here in America? His pathetic answer was, because they don't hate us, they don't like our foreign policy. With all respect, Professor Esposito, there is not one Muslim believer. Those who lived in the White House, like Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, or those who are in our prison system for committing some crimes, none of the true Muslim believers like America. They hate us. Not they hate our foreign policy, they hate us as an infidel. And once again, the reason is because Allah and Muhammad said so. We are the worst of the creatures. We are the infidels. Allah's wrath is against the Jews. And Allah called Christians the lost ones. And all those who worship Jesus Christ are the fuel of hell. As Jesus himself, according to the teaching of the Quran, if he accepted the worship of others, he himself would spend eternity also in hell. So once again, let's put the record right here. Muslims hate America for being an infidel nation, not because of any foreign policy. And the great proof of that is this. Before we have any invasion to Iraq or Afghanistan, or before we supported Israel, before the country of Israel ever existed, the Muslims of the Muslim world hate the Christian and the Jews of America. As a matter of fact, before America was discovered, Muslims hated the Jews and the Christians. And that is the practice of the words of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
So now, my friends, let's continue with another lie from Professor John Esposito. That is when he said,
you look at statistics. Gallup did a survey looking at comparing America to Canada. We call Canada America without its without American foreign policy. And the statistics are incredibly different. Or just Europe and America. Britain, Blair, and Bush, their statistics versus other European leaders. In other words, it's around foreign policy. It's around two things. One, invasion and occupation, and two, a feeling that the promotion of democracy, we operate on a double standard. We say that we believe in self-determination, and we promote democracy all over, including Eastern Europe, but not in the Middle East.
Well, I want to digest what Professor Esposito just said here. He said, when you look at the statistics, what statistics? That's when they do survey. What survey? When they ask the Muslims these questions. As if this survey, as I mentioned to you before, have any truth in it. As if Muslims do not lie when they give an answer for a question on a survey. My friends, I can give the same survey to the same Muslims and we will get the opposite result. That is, obviously, if they think that I'm a Muslim man. And they will tell you, we hate the guts of Americans. And we hate the guts of every Christian, every Jew, just because they are infidels. Can you imagine that? But here in the survey, Professor Esposito discovered that the hatred to America is not to the American people because they are infidels, but because of our policies. What policies? Our foreign policies, as we just mentioned previously in this podcast. But that's not true, because this survey does not give the true answer for the questions which is given by whoever given these surveys. You might as well kiss these surveys and throw it on the side of the road, because there's no facts in it. So these surveys show that America and Europe are completely different, but then he added England to America when you talk about Britain, Blair, and Bush. Oh, these are the union which Muslims hate. Why do Muslims hate the British and the American people? And by the way, they hated the French and they hated the German and they hated everybody who joined us in the first war in Iraq. Because we went in war against the Muslims of Iraq. That's why they hate us. And the reason we went to this war is to retaliate of the attack of September 11th. And the reason they attacked us on September 11th, it is because these Muslim believers practiced the teaching of Allah in the Quran when they killed the 3,000 Americans on September 11th. But believe it or not, because of the stupidity of the political correctness and because of the cowardice of the leaders of Europe and Mr. Bush, we did not tell the American people the truth. We just thought we're going to go there in Iraq, we're going to throw some bombs and shoot some bullets and kill some Muslims, and then we're going to bring democracy to Iraq, and that will end the invasion of the Muslims and the hatred of the Muslims to the infidels, Americans and Europeans. Have Mr. Bush told the American people the truth about the selfish cult of Islam, we would not have gone to start this war in Iraq and Afghanistan, but we would have taken care first of America, protecting America from the Muslims. But the opposite is true. I was amazed. While we are in war in Iraq and Afghanistan, Mr. Bush brought Muslims from Iraq and Afghanistan and the rest of the Muslim world to America in quadruple numbers than the years before. That's why large number of Muslims in America voted for Mr. George W. Bush in the second term after he engaged in war with the Muslims of Iraq and Afghanistan, as he claimed that this war was about killing the radicals or extremists. And he also said that he loves the Muslims and he believes Islam to be a loving and a peaceful religion. And because of what Mr. Bush did, I said, this war is a waste of blood and money. So the first reason, according to Professor John Esposito, why Muslims hate America, and we may add to it England, and they don't hate the rest of the countries of Europe or Canada, is because of our foreign policy. Concerning what? Concerning the invasion and occupation to the countries of Iraq and Afghanistan and whatever other countries in the Middle East where we have U.S. soldiers. But the second reason, he said, it is that we are operating on a double standard concerning democracy. As he continued by stating that we say that we believe in self-determination and we promote democracy all over, including Eastern Europe, but not in the Middle East. Do you know why we could not promote democracy in the Middle East? Because you cannot mix water with oil, my friends. If you get a glass of water and glass of oil, and if you stir them together and wait 5 minutes, well, guess what? The oil will separate from the water. Once again, you cannot bring democracy in the Muslim world. This is not Bush's or Blair's problem. This is Islam's problem. Democracy does not mix with Islam. My friends, here is what Muslims believe about our democracy. Any system of man-made law is considered illicit under Islamic law, for whose adherence Allah already has provided the only law permitted. Listen carefully, Professor Esposito. Sharia, Islam, and Western style democracy can never coexist in harmony. Once again, it says Sharia, Islam, and Western style democracy can never coexist in harmony. So if you want to bring democracy to the Muslim world, you have to get rid of Sharia. And what is Sharia? The word of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. When we read the word of Allah, the Quran, and we see Allah said, do this and don't do that. When we read the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith, when he said, do this and don't do that, these laws are Sharia. But at the same time, to bring democracy to the Muslim world, it's impossible to have both democracy and Sharia. My friends, in Islam, there is no democracy, since democracy means that a non-Muslim is equal to a Muslim. And that itself goes against Sharia. We also read from Muhammad Hisham in his writing for Principles of Islamic Jurisprudence in his third review edition. This is a gentleman wrote to us in the year 2003 from England. He said, sovereignty in Islam is the prerogative of Almighty Allah alone. He is the absolute arbiter of values, and it is his will that determines good and evil, right and wrong. When Mr. Bush went to Iraq with a hope to bring democracy to the country of Iraq, I could not help but to laugh. Why? Because he picked out the wrong country to do the greatest thing which can ever be done. You see, in Iraq, you got Shiite and Sunni, Yazidis and Christians, bunch of different people. And what's so amazing about the powerful Sunni of Iraq under Saddam Hussein, they were less than 20% of the country, and they were so mighty that they can control over 60% of the Muslim Shiite in this country. And by removing Saddam Hussein from power, and because of the doctrine of retaliation, I know I know on the spot immediately it is a hopeless situation, because now the majority Shiites of Iraq who have been abused for years and years under Saddam Hussein, now they are going to be in control. Now they're going to be retaliating. Now they're going to be persecuting the Sunni Muslims because of what Muslims believe. That is the doctrine of retaliation. They have to retaliate and kill as many Sunni Muslims as they can, because the Sunni Muslims under Saddam Hussein killed many of the Shiite Muslims of Iraq. Not only they killed the Shiite Muslim of Iraq, they killed the Shiite Muslim of the country of Iran in this long 10 years of war. And when America got involved in that war, and I saw our soldiers removing Saddam Hussein from power, I said, here is a great gift we as Americans are giving to the country of Iran. For 10 years, the Shiite Muslims of Iran try hard to take over Iraq, as Saddam Hussein himself was hoping to be the powerful Muslim state in the Middle East. But guess what? We removed Saddam Hussein from power and we destroyed the country of Iraq. We lost thousands of our American soldiers and we lost $2 trillion or more of our income. And guess what we have in Iraq? We simply have chaos. No democracy whatsoever. You cannot bring democracy to the country of Iraq because of the many divisions in the country already. And you cannot bring democracy to any Muslim country. My friends, it's been 1400 years and the Muslim world is the same. They never have democracy in the days of Muhammad, and they will never have democracy today nor tomorrow. Why? Because once again, democracy and Islam cannot mix together. And here we see Professor John Esposito blaming us, Americans, that we have a double standard. We want to have democracy in every part around the world, but when it comes to the Middle East, we don't have democracy. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that in our next broadcast. But no, Professor Esposito, you're wrong. The reason we cannot bring democracy to any of the Muslim countries is because Islam and democracy cannot mix together. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.